Thank you, Melody. Good morning again.
Good morning.
You ever had one of those weeks where things just didn't work out like you'd planned? Sometimes it feels like you're having a life like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've had one of those weeks and kind of one of those mornings. I have a sermon that I planned to preach this morning that I found out late this week after the outline was produced was actually going to be two sermons. And now as I'm looking at the clock, I'm thinking, well, it might actually be a little bit more than that. I've got about 20 minutes here, so what we're going to do is go as far as we can, and then we'll stop and we'll pick it up next week. Because it's an important passage and an important topic. And let me give you some background as far as what we're doing and what we're talking about. We're going to be outside of our study in Mark for just a couple of weeks now because, well, the elders and I were praying, and I hope you find comfort in the fact that your elders pray, but we were praying earlier in the summer, earlier in the winter, we've been praying for a while, that we need a little bit of help in ministry. We need some additional elders. We need some additional deacons. We need some additional ministry leaders. We need some additional workers. We need some additional people. Maybe we just need some additional. Maybe we can just leave it at that. Anyway, particularly we were talking about the calling of new elders, and we've made a decision that we need to call some new elders and we need to call some new deacons. Problem is, where are we going to get these guys? Where are we going to get these folks? And that's not anything negative about anybody sitting out here, but we all know you guys got busy lives. We all know what's on folks' plates. But I can tell you this. Our elders need a little help. And they're both looking at me like, now, what is he going to say? I don't know if you've noticed, but our elders are getting a little, how should I say it, long in the tooth? Long in the tooth they're getting, okay. These guys just don't have the energy and the giddy up and go that they used to have. Inky's laughing, that's got to be true. You know, the giddy up and go has gotten up and went, right? That just brings me to the point that I need to make that it is so important for any church body to be developing leaders. It is so important for any church body to be developing disciples. You know, the elders are going to need to be, I mean, these guys, I'm thinking, I'm 45, and I know my giddy up and go isn't what it used to be. Now, these guys, I won't give you their ages, though I know them and could certainly embarrass them, but I take great glee in saying they're older than I am. You know, I am not even quite where they are, but I know how I feel, and I know how life is for them, and I know the responsibilities and things that are on their plates. And so we need to be working through the next generation of leaders. So there's a bit of a challenge out here for all you guys that I would say are, say, maybe age 30, 31, 32, on up to, you know, about where I am, which is, you know, 25. You know, about where I am, 45 to 50, we need to be stepping up and taking some more responsibility going forward for the leading of this body and for the shepherding of this flock. And where do you call elders from? I mean, to be an elder is an incredibly heavy charge. Wouldn't you guys say so? Yeah, I see some heads nodding. That's an incredibly heavy charge. And you need to be certain that you're calling God's men for those positions. You got to have the right guys. Everyone agreed on the right guys? Yes. You got to have the right guys, or you can be in for some trouble. And where do you call them? How can you determine if a man is ready to be an elder? Well, you have to observe them. You have to observe them in life and in ministry. And at Westminster Bible Church, I mean, I'm thinking, and I'm kind of giving away the end of this sermon series, so I'm going to give it away and then pretend like I didn't, and I'll build the case and get there. Where do you get those guys from? Well, you have to observe them in life and in ministry, and the three places that I can think of are their family lives, You want to look at small group leaders, which, by the way, are the elders. That's one potential pool for pulling a new elder, and it's already occupied by elders. That's not a healthy situation. I'm just going to say that. And these guys know that. It's not healthy. And three, hey, how about from deacons? Because they're servants of the church also, aren't they? And I'm not saying that deaconhood is a step up to elderhood. There can be some differences there, and I think there are some. Not all deacons are meant to be elders. Not all elders are going to be deacons. But if you look at the qualifications for elders and deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you'll see that they are remarkably, remarkably similar. The character traits are very, very close. That tells me that you're looking for the same kind of men. So that should be the place where we're pulling the next generation of elders in the church. So we're going to talk, we're going to have an eye towards calling new elders by actually going through the process of calling some new deacons. And that's what we're about. We're about to go through a deacon search. You guys are going to be part of that. It's going to take a couple of sermon series, a couple of sermons to build that whole case. So just hold on if you don't get everything right now. We're talking about deacons. Actually, we are seeking deacons. Okay, I tried to be a little more imaginative this week. Okay, well, isn't all boring? Seeking deacons, that's where we are. Wow, and we're almost at the end of the sermon, too, and I just got started. Well, I think we can get through point one this week. Point number one, in your outlines, let's look at the word deacon. The word deacon, or diakonos, everyone say that word, diakonos. Do it again, diakonos. Good. Now you guys can be the hit of the party. Diakonos, it equals servant. It means to be a servant. And as Christians, all of us are called to servanthood, are we not? All of us are called to servanthood. A couple of verses to back that up from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 43 through 45. Right after the disciples were arguing amongst themselves about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom, Jesus said, hey, don't, in God's kingdom, leaders don't lord it over like these folks do. But this is not the way among you. For whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your diakonos. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, did not come to be, it's a form of diakonos, but to diakonos, a verbal form of diakonos, and to give his life a ransom for many. And the church itself is to be equipped, from Ephesians chapter 4. For the equipping of the saints is for the work of diakonos, service to the building up of the body of Christ. So the first thing we want to get is that the word deacon, diakonos, means servant. It actually appears over 100 times in Scripture, and it's translated sometimes a little differently, but with the same typical meaning. It's translated minister, to administer, serve, servant, to care for, to support. And only in a couple of instances does it actually refer to a church office. And we're going to be looking at those church office instances. But one of them is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, where Paul is writing to the Philippians with Timothy. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers who are elders and deacons. So it's fairly clear there that in Philippians chapter 1, we are actually talking about the office of a deacon. We're going to look now at, well, actually, we're not going to look now. We're going to look next week at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. But I would just encourage everyone this week to read the first 13 verses of 1 Timothy chapter 3. As a matter of fact, let's read it now, but then read it again this week in your quiet times. And just open up your Bibles, if you will, and we'll read that passage. I'll say a few words, and then we have a thing that we need to do before we close. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, elder, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious. I like that word, pugnacious. You don't get to use pugnacious often enough. Or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Deacons, likewise, must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I think very quickly, one thing that you notice from just the reading of those qualifications is that point number two, character counts. These are mostly character qualities, which you don't see a lot of here, or even an emphasis on, is giftedness, or talents, or natural charisma, all the things that we would look for if we were choosing a leader for ourselves. And that's because we're not choosing leaders for ourselves. God is choosing them. And he is more interested in who a person is than he is interested in what they are right now. He is more interested in what's going on in their heart. Remember, God chose David, a shepherd boy, ruddy in appearance, who didn't look like anything to anybody except a herder of sheep, to be king of Israel, over the other guy, who was Saul, of the tribe of Benjamin, who stood head and shoulders above the rest of the Israelites and was handsome in appearance. But he was rotten to the core. David didn't look so much, but on the inside he had what counts. Those are the men we want to call into leadership. We want Davids, not Sauls. Character counts, character is important, and we will talk so much more about that next week. Right now we have about 10 minutes left in the service, and we have one more thing that we need to do, because it's a big ministry kickoff day, and we are starting a new members class at the end of this month, actually the beginning of October. Something that we've neglected all summer long, and that is that we had a new members class that ended not that long ago, or actually ended before the summer started, and we have some individuals who are joining the church, actually have joined the church. We let them join, but we are now presenting them to you as members of Westminster Bible Church. So I'm going to ask those three individuals to please step forward. And as part of the ceremony of joining Westminster Bible Church, we're going to ask you to, you know, do a little number for us right now. A little song and dance. See, that's what I like to see, enthusiasm. Actually, you know these folks. They have been with us in some cases for years. Josh has been around working with the youth. He's come out of the Phileo ministry. Michelle has been working with the Awana program, but now she's going to be leading in Awana. Alicia, you guys have all met. We sent her to Bolivia this summer. And What we're going to do is go through our little ceremony that we've, it's been a tradition here for years, where we go through this passage in Romans chapter 12. There's a place, I'll do most of the reading, and there's a place where we're going to respond either by the grace of God or by the mercy of God. You'll see it highlighted in yellow, please, in unison, when that happens, and you guys can read it on the back. When you see that, please respond. So, as a member of Westminster Bible Church, in the areas of personal and corporate worship, it is our desire to present our bodies as living and holy sacrifices, acceptable to God, not conforming to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, by the mercy of God. In the areas of service as members of the body of Christ, in the areas of diakonos, as members of the body of Christ, it is our desire not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, being of the same mind toward one another and not haughty, associating with the lowly, not being wise in our own estimation, for just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. By the grace of God. In the areas of care for one another, it is our desire to be unhypocritical in our love, to abhor what is evil, and to cling to what is good, to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honoring one another, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, being devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, living in unity, having the same mind toward one another, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep, by the mercy of God. In relation to the world around us, as Christians, it is our desire to never pay back evil for evil to anyone, to respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on us, to be at peace with all men, to not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, to recognize that our personal and corporate involvement in the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ is our most effective means of overcoming evil with, overcoming evil with good, in that God's wrath against the sinfulness of man has been satisfied by Jesus Christ's substitutionary death on the cross. By the mercy of God. Welcome to the new members. Now, and you'll get the secret password and the decoder ring soon. I'm going to close in prayer. After I'm done closing in prayer, I'd like the body to come up and greet them and welcome them to Westminster Bible Church. I know you know them, but welcome them anyway. And also a reminder, when that is finished, there is a baptism that's occurring. But it's not happening here. You know, in the New Testament, when they baptized someone, they went down to the river, to the lake, or to the pond, wherever, and in a public place baptized someone. But we have some folks, Dana Holwick and her children, Ethan and Aubrey Gordon, who want to be baptized in a public place. There's a creek in Patapsco that we're going to. Please join us, follow us. There's some directions on the back table to how to get there, and be witnesses to them taking that next step, that first step of obedience in Christ, by being baptized. I think that's all my announcements. Let's close today in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you and we are eternally grateful, Lord, for that which you've done for us. Lord, that you loved us so much so that you sent your son Jesus Christ to the cross to die for our sins, that we might have his righteousness when we stand before you, that we might be forgiven, that we would have even access to pray to you now. Father, Lord, what an incredible privilege. And it's an incredible privilege to be part of one body, the body of Christ. And Father, Lord, we are just excited to welcome Michelle and Alicia and Josh to a membership in the body of Westminster Bible Church as well. Father, they have been yours for a while, Lord Father, but they've chosen to identify with us also. And Lord, may you use them mightily among us, but may we care for them, may we hold them accountable, and may they hold us accountable and care for us, Father, may we work together to serve others and to serve you and to preach the gospel, proclaiming Christ, that good news that he died for us, to all who we meet. Father, Lord, we just pray that you would nurture, Lord, and bless our body. We pray that you would, Lord, that you would just increase our effectiveness, that you would increase our hearts and our love for you. And Lord, we're thankful for the baptisms that are about to happen, for folks who are following you in obedience. And we're thankful, Lord, for the time that we've had this morning, though admittedly the time in your word has been well too short. Father, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that hearts have been edified anyway, that you have been glorified in our worship and in what's happening here in Westminster Bible Church. And Father, we pray that we would follow you hard, that we would be hard following you, Lord, that we would be charging after you with all that we have, Lord, seeking only what you would have for us, and Lord, seeking to honor and glorify you. Lord, we thank you again for the day. We thank you for these folks. We thank you for the folks who are working in Vine Life, Awana, and Phileo. We thank you for the small groups that are starting. We thank you, Lord, that you are God, Lord, and that you are on your throne. And no matter what happens, you are not greatly moved. And we can count on that. Father, we love you and we lift up our praises and our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet the new members. Have a wonderful week.